Well, that might have been an example of a pastoral care conversation. I don't know if he got very far with what he was trying to do, that country singer, Pete Donahue. But there you go. If you haven't met me before, my name's Steve. I'm on the ministry team here, and I look after ministry to youth and young adults. And what we're going to be looking at this morning is we're going to be thinking about pastoral care. We've started our series in pastoral care. We're going to keep thinking about it. And I want to ask by asking you, how have you been? Good? Good? I hear a few people saying good. Yep. You know, when people say, how have you been, it's often not actually a question, is it? It's just part of the things that it's just part of our greeting to one another, isn't it? We just say, oh, g'day, how are you going? And we probably get asked it 100 times a week in various forms. How have you been? How's your day going? What are you up to? What's going on? And we always just say good as a matter of default. It's just how you communicate. When I was a teenager, I worked in a chemist shop, and one of the managers said to me, oh, how have you been? And I said, good. Oh, actually, no, I've been a bit sick. And she said, you know, Stephen, we don't like being lied to around here. And I was like, whoa. And obviously, I don't think she knew that was just, you just automatically say good as part of your conversation, as part of your greeting. It's like, good day. Now, we often ask our friends how they're going because that's how we greet our friends. But you can always tell if someone really cares about you when they listen to the answer to that question, especially if the answer isn't good. Now, the video we just saw highlights, I think, one of the reasons why we need a pastoral care program in our church. We need more than just people saying hello to one another over morning tea. Imagine old mate here, if he joined our church and he was coming along every week, would he be cared for by us? If that were the conversations we were having with him, do you think we'd really be able to care for him as a church if it was just conversations over morning tea? I think it'd be hard going. You know, when you're speaking to him, you kind of wonder, oh, is there anyone else I can be speaking to? You know, people can fall through the cracks at any age, and this is one of the reasons why we've set up a specific pastoral care program so that being looked after in our congregation doesn't depend on how many friends you have or what your personality is like. But even as we consider these things, we need to think about what pastoral care actually is. And we're going to have a look at John chapter 10 to see what implications that passage has for pastoral care. Now, this passage in John chapter 10 is a bit of a tricky one because it's not actually about pastoral care. It's about who is the rightful ruler and king of Israel. The chapter actually starts halfway through an argument that Jesus has been having with the Jews and the Pharisees. And Jesus is saying that he's the true leader of Israel. And the true Israelites are going to follow him. The Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, all the leaders that came before Jesus were failed, wicked, corrupt leaders. But Jesus is saying that he is the true shepherd of the sheep. Now, you might be thinking, why are we talking about shepherds in a series on pastoral care? Or maybe you've been in church circles for a long time and you know whenever people talk about pastoral care, they always wheel out the image of the shepherd cuddling that little lamb. Well, there's more to it than just a shepherd cuddling that little lamb. You know the one, the really kind, gentle shepherd, and he's cuddling that little lamb. And I know what you're thinking, he's not going to use the lamb for meat. He only uses it for the wool. He's a vegetarian shepherd, this shepherd. Well, the reason why we talk about shepherds when we're talking about pastoral care has to do with two words, the word shepherd and the word pastor. Now, I know they look different and they sound different and they're spelt differently, but they're actually the same word. In the Greek, they're exactly the same word. No matter whether you've got the ESV or the NIV or whatever translation you use, no matter how it translates that, it's talking about the same word. And even without learning Greek, we can work this out. Think about it. If you want to be a sheep farmer, you can apply to the government for a lease, and that's called a pastoral lease because you're a sheep farmer. You'll also be known as a pastoralist, which is just a fancy way of saying that you're a sheep farmer. Shepherd and pastor mean the same thing. Now, why is it like that? Well, the English, they can't keep their hands in their own pockets, can they? I mean, they're always taking things. They're taking people's sheep. They even take people's words for sheep farmer. So the word pastor is actually stolen from Latin. And the word shepherd probably belongs to the Germans. Now, why they had to go and steal two words which mean exactly the same thing, I don't know. But I suppose if you're in the business of theft, then you don't really think about those things and you just want to get everything you can get your hands on. And it's just as well that the English are like this. I mean, if they weren't stealing sheep and loaves of bread and words, then they might not have got on the boat to come here, would they? And a lot of us wouldn't be here. Now, I am joking. All the English people I know probably have never stolen anything in their lives. And if they have, it was probably just a lolly when they were a kid and they probably gave it back before they even ate it because they were so overwhelmed by guilt. But it's a fact of history that the English have stolen words from other languages. And two words that they picked up along the way, shepherd and pastor, both mean exactly the same thing. So when we're talking about pastoral care with the word pastor in it, we're thinking about the care that the shepherd wants his sheep to receive. Well, first let's have a think about how the Bible uses this metaphor of shepherd. Because it's a common image that comes up right through both the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Genesis 49, God himself is mentioned as shepherd for the first time in the Bible. And he's often mentioned as shepherd. We had our reading from Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." In Numbers 27, Moses asks God to appoint a leader of the Israelites so that they won't be like sheep without a shepherd. And if you know the story of David, when he was called to become the king of Israel, what was he doing? He was out in the field looking after sheep. When he became king, he didn't have a career change. He just went from being a shepherd of sheep to being a shepherd of people. He was always a shepherd. And all through the Bible, shepherds are always leaders of God's people. Some are good leaders. In fact, not many were good leaders because many of them were selfish and bloodthirsty and wicked. So to sum it up, when we hear the word pastor or pastoral care, it always means shepherd or shepherding. And when it's used metaphorically in the Bible, it always means leading God's people. Now, I think we often think of pastoral care as what a shepherd does or what a certain type of shepherd does. You know, he cuddles the sheep. We've got our image of our vegetarian shepherd in his woolen jumper cuddling that little sheep, keeping it warm, especially when it's cold. And we've got the parable of the lost sheep, don't we? I've got a kid's Bible, a story Bible that I read to the kids, and in that version, the sheep gets to go home with the shepherd and have vegetarian party food. So when we think of pastoral care, we think of that caring, gentle tenderness that people need when it's time to get out the box of tissues. Now, that's a good thing, and don't hear me denigrating it, but it's not the essence of pastoral care. You can do pastoral care without a tissue box in sight. The essence of pastoral care is loving other people the way the pastor wants you to love them. That's what the essence of pastoral care is. Loving other people the way Jesus wants you to love them. And that means that this love that we show in pastoral care always has a shape to it. It's always got a direction. It's always pointing in the direction of the pastor, of the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastoral care is always heading somewhere. And we see this in our passage for today. After denouncing all the wicked rulers that were before him, Jesus says in verse 3 that the true shepherd of the sheep calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And have a look from verse 4. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. The role of the true shepherd is not just to get alongside the sheep and hear their pain and comfort them where they're at, even though those things may be necessary. But the role of the true shepherd is to lead them. And they're led by the words and call of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these sheep follow Jesus. There are people, there are individuals that Jesus has chosen, and he calls them. And when they hear his voice, when they hear the good news of the gospel, they follow him. They follow him as their shepherd. And you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that sheep follow the shepherd and disciples follow the teacher. Last week with Richard, we looked at Ephesians 4, and we saw there that the activities of pastoring and teaching are very closely linked. The common link in both cases between Jesus and his people, whether as the shepherd and the sheep or as the teacher and the disciples, is the call and the word of the gospel. That's what links Jesus to his people. And that's why if there's going to be any essential tool in your toolbox for pastoral care, it's not going to be the aloe vera tissues. It's going to be the word of God. It's going to be the Bible. Now, we also see in this passage that this shepherd Jesus, he leads his sheep somewhere. And he has a direction that he's taking them. Jesus has an agenda. Have a look at verse 10. The thief, this is Jesus speaking, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus' purpose in being the leader of his people is to make sure that they have life and have it to the full. Now, it's not talking about family harmony or career fulfillment or overseas holidays. It's talking about the eternal life. It's talking about being united to God forever and enjoying him forever beyond this life. And that is the best thing that we could ever imagine. And that's why our love in pastoral care also needs to have an agenda. Not our agenda. We don't want to bring our agenda to pastoral care. But we're not even trying to fit in with someone else's agenda, the person we're caring for. We're matching Jesus' agenda. That's what our agenda needs to be in pastoral care. Our agenda in pastoral care needs to be Jesus' agenda, so that we're showing people the love that Jesus wants us to show them. And that means loving them in a way that helps them follow Jesus as their shepherd, by helping them focus on his words and helping them trust him and love him and put all their hope in him as their shepherd and saviour. Well, we've looked at this passage, but I want to conclude with a few things that we can kind of draw out from this passage and also from other areas as well. Firstly, I want to give a recap on why we're doing this pastoral care program. Pastoral care is loving people in a way that helps them follow Jesus. And our pastoral care program is making sure that we show that type of love to everyone in our church. There are some people who just have heaps of friends in church, and they're always being looked after. But we want to make sure that no one gets left behind. So if you only remember two things from today, it's these. Number one, pastoral care means loving people in a way that helps them follow Jesus. And number two, the pastoral care program is making sure that no one falls through the cracks, that no one gets left behind. Just think of all the movies. At the crisis moment, just before the climax of the movie, one of the friends will be injured and they'll say, just go on without me, just leave me. And the hero says, no, no one gets left behind. That's what we want to make sure happens. That's what we want our motto, our Mittagong code to be when we think about pastoral care. Now, secondly, some of you may be thinking, well, if that's what pastoral care is, then where does listening fit into that type of love? And if you're asking that question, then you need to get the first biscuit at morning tea because you're on the ball. That's a very good question to ask. Proverbs 18:13 says that answering before listening, that is folly and shame. And James 1:19 says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And it's amazing how often in the Bible, when people are distressed, they cry out to God and he hears them. And they know that God loves them because he hears them. And if you want to think more specifically about how to love people in a way that helps them follow Jesus, then we have our pastoral care training day on September the 3rd, Saturday, September 3rd. And we'll be looking at questions like that. So things like, where does listening fit in? And where does the Bible and prayer fit in? And what about practical help? And there'll be lots of other questions that are answered on that day. So that'll be an excellent day for you to sign up to. And you can speak to Linda if you'd like to sign up for that day. And the last thing I want to say is about our pastoral care program being making sure that we don't let anyone fall through the cracks. Did anyone see the footage this week of the guy who jumped out of the aeroplane without a parachute and tried to land on that safety net? Anyone see that? I saw that on the news earlier this week. It was just amazing. This guy did this stunt where he jumped out of an aeroplane from 25,000 feet and hurtled down towards the earth and guided himself towards this big safety net that was held up by wire. And I just thought it was incredible, like just seeing how fast he was falling. And then he didn't even end up in the middle of the net. He ended up off to the side. And I thought, oh, is he going to tip out the side when he went in? Well, the thing about safety nets is that they can only catch people if they're landing in the area of the net. And our pastoral care program is a safety net to make sure that we're catching people who are falling through the cracks. But it's not going to catch people if they're not landing in the area of the net. So if we're not coming to church regularly, and if we're not in a Bible study or coming along to follow youth or something like that, then no one's going to notice if we're not there for a few weeks, are they? Or if we're not in the directory, or our phone number isn't right, then people aren't going to be able to call us and see how they're going, how we're going. So maybe today, chase up someone and make sure your details are right in the directory. We're about to put out a new directory. And if there's someone in your family who you're responsible for that might be a bit like our friend up here, then do you know how they're going following Jesus? Are they in the area of the safety net? Are you bringing them along each week to Kids at Mac or to Follow 5 and 6 or Follow Youth? One of the key things that we focus on in these groups is making sure our leaders are relating and looking after the people that come along. A few churches back, I knew of someone who left church and almost completely left Christianity because they weren't cared for when they went through a really tough time. But the problem was that they only went to that church once every now and then. So when this really rough time did come along, no one really noticed. They missed a few weeks at church, but they usually missed a few weeks at church. So no one knew what they were going through. Tough times will come, We know as Christians, God's word says that we should expect tough times to come in our lives. And there'll be times when we're not able to get to church because of the difficulties that we're facing, or we're not able to get to church very often. But please make sure you don't prepare for those tough times by neglecting church in the good times when you can come every week. Hebrews 10:25 talks about this, and it says, "Do not neglect to meet together, as some are in the habit of doing." Doesn't pull any punches there, does it? "But instead, encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So let's make sure that while we can, we're meeting together regularly. We're coming along on Sunday. We're meeting in groups during the week. We're looking out for one another and we're encouraging one another. Because tough times will come. They'll come for all of us. And we want to make sure we're getting prepared and we're looking out for one another when they do come. Well, why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is our true shepherd and that he has called us individually by name to belong to him and to follow him. Lord, help us love all your sheep in a way that helps them follow you. And we pray that none will be left behind or forgotten or fall through the cracks. And we pray this in the name of our true shepherd and saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.